of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. This is a week where we have been rightly gratified to see justice done for our LGBTQ neighbors when it comes to marriage equality. In the statement that I sent to the Newark Advocate, which was excerpted in that piece that they did, was that in Friday or Saturday's paper? I don't know exactly, but I was mentioning again that, I've known many, many people who, because they were unable to be married to their partner, had incurred real harm. You know, real harm for them in hospital emergency rooms where they couldn't go back and see their loved one. Real harm to them in funeral homes when they were not considered legal family. Real harm to them when they sat down with their employers to talk about benefits. And so it's just nice every once in a while to be able to breathe in a little bit of justice and say, amen. So I invite you all just to say, amen to that, and just to appreciate that for just a minute. A little bit of justice being done in this world. It's good. And this summer we've been talking about, as a summer theme, the unofficial fruits of the Spirit. So earlier in the message, in the service, we read the passage from Galatians chapter 5 about the fruits of the Spirit we often hear about. These words in Galatians were penned by St. Paul. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patient endurance, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And sometimes those words are so familiar to us that they lose any sort of meaning for us. So every week I've been deciding to change a couple of them just to sort of give them a little bit more punch. And the one I want to change this week is patient endurance. And let's talk about tenacity. Tenacity. I was talking to a coach. He coaches soccer in Granville and has been doing it for a long time. And he was kind of bemoaning to me at the beginning of the season, parents and kids nowadays are different than they were about 10 years ago when I started this. He said, a lot of families that have their kids in sports nowadays, and it's true with soccer, and I suppose it's true with other sports too, he said, it's hard to get them out to practice, and it's hard to get them out to games. It seemed like whenever anybody wants to go on a family trip, or whenever anybody wants to go to the park, or when everybody wants to go out for a movie, they do that stuff, and then we have trouble getting people to the games because people feel like they can just call off whenever they want to. It's more important for them to do what they immediately feel at that time is important rather than to think about the whole team. And so it's hard for us actually to keep teams together and have enough people show out on game days to actually field teams. He said it didn't seem to be like that 10 years ago. And I don't know if that's your experience, but that's the experience of that coach I was talking to. And it made me think, wow, maybe it's true that we do live in a culture that has so prioritized what I want to do, that we forget about the whole idea of the team, and that there might be a greater good that's at risk if I'm just doing what I want to do. And he actually mentioned it in terms of kind of a consumerist thing. He said, it's kind of like parents, they pay their money to be part of the team, and they're buying the opportunity not to participate. So I pay my fee, and since I paid my fee, it's my choice whether I actually go or not. I paid my dues, just lay off, He said it's a different way of being a coach now than it was 10 years ago. And it made me wonder, and talking to other people, I've realized that this is maybe not uncommon. It's probably a bigger problem nowadays in all sorts of different spheres of life, and in civic associations like Rotary, Sir Optimus, Kiwanis, things like that. Maybe even friendships, maybe even relationships. The value of just hanging in there and of tenacity perhaps has gone down because we feel like we have paid our dues and we want to kind of do what we want to do. I suppose it probably even happens in churches. When social issues and problems arise in this country, I've noticed that we often have this reaction to stay interested in them as long as they're in the news. And that's a kind of a brief flare up, and then sort of the interest tends to wane for us. And maybe we've been trained to react that way in the society that we live in. There's an earthquake in Nepal. For 2 weeks, people are really interested in it, and then it's forgotten, almost as if it never happened. You know, new global warming data comes out showing that we've had the hottest worldwide annual temperatures on record, and everybody goes, woo, for about a week, and then they forget about it. Revolts by fed up, exasperated people happen in Ferguson and Baltimore, and we get a few weeks of coverage, and then people sort of forget about it. Or a shooting of an unarmed black youth in Cleveland. 2 weeks of concern, and then sort of it's gone. This society suffers from a short attention span, and sometimes maybe not that much persistence and perseverance when we have to face issues that are complex, vexing, and maybe take a long time to solve. We have a predisposition to act when there's a crisis, but we forget that we're living amidst all sorts of troubles that require us to be tenacious in our response towards them. They're problems that don't just require an immediate response when they get on the news, but problems that require us to be attentive for the long haul. When we realize that, you know, we live in a society of chronic un- and underemployment, where 50% of the people who live within a couple mile radius of downtown Newark are either un- or underemployed, right here in our county. A society in which we've allowed a lot of the jobs we had in this country 30 to 40 years ago for high school graduates to be outsourced overseas. And whose interests have been served by that? But who really talks much about it? A society in which those who can go to college now often graduate chained to the banks with loans of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, up to $80,000, I've heard, for a four-year degree people coming out with. We've got homeless people walking on our streets with a recent report of 6 empty houses in this country for every homeless person. And that gets a little flare up and then we forget about it. Our retirement savings and safety nets continue to disappear. Our retirement plans, pensions for everyday people are disappearing at catastrophic rates. I was talking to somebody who's in the restaurant business and they said, you know, I plan to be in this business for another 20 years or so, but when the people who go to my business, who are largely people who are living on pensions, pass away, I can imagine that the next generation of people may not be able to eat out as much as these people have eaten out. So I'm thinking about that. 38% of Americans say they've saved absolutely nothing for retirement. Another estimated 80% of 35 to 50-year-olds now have not saved enough to ensure a safe retirement for themselves. And so we live in this sort of nexus of unsolved, difficult problems. And we wonder why people, especially the most vulnerable amongst us, people with difficulties getting any jobs at all, are often discontent and feel attacked. There's a lot of work to do, you know, if we're wanting to follow Jesus in the way of making peace. And it's not easy. And it takes sometimes years of committed action and relationship building and organizing, and it can take a toll on people, and there's a cost to doing that work. And when we think about the SCOTUS decision this week, just think about the cost of doing the work that is incurred just by this church on this one issue of equality for GLBT people. Back in 1992, you all took a vote, as I recall, to become welcoming and affirming. This church did. That's almost 25 years ago, right? That's an amazing stand that was taken by you all way before many other churches were doing this. And for taking that stand, there was a cost. You were expelled from the Baptist Association you were part of, and because of that, expelled from the Ohio American Baptist churches. You had to find another home. There are real costs. And in this community, you lost members over that. People did not want to be a part of this church because of that stand. It was controversial. And for us in this church still today, we know that our stand for full equality for people, there's a cost to that. And yet we pay that cost because we know it's important to pay the cost, because it takes some tenacity to be on the side of the arc of the moral universe. It's not a quick thing. It takes some effort. It takes some grit or endurance or constancy or pluck or perseverance or persistence. And we got to have that sometimes to continue on doing the good work that we do. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm making a caveat here, I'm not saying that, you know, we just need to grind forward in useless, deadening activity for the sake of just doing things. There are times when we need to stop doing what we're doing, because whatever it is we're doing may not be achieving the greater good. But we have to remember, and particularly in this culture, so quick to quit or to capitulate or to bow out, just because it's easier, or just because we didn't get our name up in lights, or just because we didn't get an easy win, or just because we simply don't feel like participating or putting in energy anymore, that there are times you just have to keep on keeping on. You just have to keep on keeping on. If the work is God's work. And I remember that on Wednesday night when we were over at Trinity African Methodist Episcopal Church, I sat down next to Kenapaki. And Kenapaki said to me from across the table, you know, we sang We Shall Overcome at the ending of tonight's service. We've been singing that for 60 years. And we still haven't overcome. There's some truth to that. We've been singing that for 60 years. And we got to keep on singing it. We got to keep on singing it. Even if it's hard. And even if the results don't come quick. And even if the names don't go up in lights. Because it's God's work. How do we avoid irresolution and bowing out and capitulation and giving up and dropping out and pulling out? I think that there are some resources that we have. And one of the resources is right here in our own Christian tradition. We remember Jesus in Galilee. Right before it was the moment of decision. He goes down to Jerusalem to meet with disciples. They share a last meal. And he says, hey, this may be the last time we ever eat together. Now, every time you eat, remember that we are all one. And that this work continues with you. And then he goes to the garden. And with drops of blood pouring from him, he prays, not my will, but thine be done. There's deep truth right there. There's a little nugget for us. Not my will, but thine be done. Because a lot of the times when we try to face the really hard work that the church has to face, and we face opposition, the temptation is to think, wow, we need to do this thing because we think it's right. And that kind of work, that kind of effort is arising out of ego. And what Jesus says is very interesting. Not what I want, not what I think is right, not what pleases me just now, but thy will be done. What Jesus is pointing me to here harkens back to another prayer that he prayed earlier that many churches repeat week after week. Loving parent God, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not about me. It's not about what I think is right. It's not about what I want to have done in the world. It's about knowing that, God, there's a moral arc of the universe that you have intended for us. It leans towards justice. And that my meaning is attached to riding that wave all the way to justice. Even if it means suffering for me. Even if it means pain for me. Even if it means inconvenience for me. Even if it means my needs not being met for a while. Even if it means I am dissatisfied for the purposes of doing something greater. For the purposes of doing something for others. Because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's the mission of God. I will do this thing. I will persevere. And I will keep my hand to the plow all the way till the end. Tenacity. It's about the arc of the moral universe, which sometimes is long. Oh, yes, it's long. I was driving back from Cleveland where there was such an uproar of joy about the SCOTUS decision on Friday, and I didn't know the stations up there. I got it on scan, my radio on scan. I hit one of those Christian radio stations. The devil just tempted me and I left it there. And I had to listen to it. And so I'm listening to this, and the vitriol and the hatred coming out of that radio station against people. And, oh, well, you know what? We got to just keep on loving the sinner and hating the sin. I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be a long fight, and we have just barely started on trying to turn the church around on the issues of equality and understanding about LGBT people. Because I'll tell you something, we know that gay people don't need to be fixed. Lesbian people don't need to be fixed. Transgender people don't need to be fixed. They're loved and accepted by God just as they are. And it's going to take the church a long time to learn that. And we're just going to have to be there for that fight. And it's going to be hard. And we're going to be rejected. And we're going to be called names. But there's no way to avoid that if we want to call ourselves disciples of the person who says, "Thy will be done." Not my will, but thy will be done. It's hard work. And it's inconvenient. And it means us enduring a little dissatisfaction. But it's what we have to do if we really want to call ourselves Christian. Be tenacious. Have grit. A little bit of moxie. An alternative fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity to rejoice with you and all the angels in heaven, the saints of God, when justice is done. And give us, O God, the patient endurance to stay in the race, even when the issues that we face are not in everyone else's line of vision, not on everyone else's radar. Help us, like Jesus, in the stillness and quietness and loneliness of that garden, to just cry out to you, O God, not our will, but thine be done. And in his name and his Spirit we pray. Amen.